Well, we are finishing our year-long theme of making a difference this month. We've been talking all year long about making a difference in so many different areas and so many different ways and so many different things that we are involved in that we can make a difference in those. And we're finishing that up in December here with our December Christmas series. It's nice to be able to say Merry Christmas. I'm excited. I like Christmas time of the year, and so that's just a great time. So December's here. We're into December. We're singing a Christmas song, and so we can say Merry Christmas, and we're starting our Christmas series. And so our Christmas series is going to be about worship. It's about making a difference in our worship, to be inspired to review and to re-examine our worship patterns, our worship behavior, our worship attitude in light of different people and beings, and a sermon coming up in a couple of weeks, connected to the birth story of Jesus. So today we're looking at the Magi from the East. And this is found in Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. It says, "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, Magi from the East arrived from Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the East and have come to worship him.'" So we three kings of Orient are not what Matthew describes here. So, very, very different from the song, We Three Kings. Chuck, one of our elders, he leads worship for the first service, and he had contacted me earlier this week about the song selection for this Sunday, what subject we would be talking about. And so I told him, and so he said, "So we could sing We Three Kings this Sunday." And I said, "Sure. Or you could change the lyrics to 'More Than One Magi Who Brought Three Gifts.'" And he said, Chuck playing along, he said, "Three gifts equals three kings." So I said, from Babylon or maybe Persia, you know, because this was most likely where they were traveling from. The text says they came from the East, and the author of the song interpreted that as coming from the Orient, but it's most likely they came from Babylon or Persia. There'd be connections there to the Old Testament prophecies, as those two empires would have had exiles from both Israel and Judea in their presence, so they would have had exposure to the Old Testament prophecies before Roman rule took over that area of Israel. So then Chuck, of course, playing along, continuing with this, he said, "How about China?" And I said, "East or far east, you know, maybe Okinawa or the Philippines, Hawaii, I guess, if you keep going east, LOL. Then Chuck said they had their fireman's outfit on. They came from afar. I busted out laughing at that point, and actually his dad corrected him on that joke. Charlie came up to me after the service, first service, and said, he said, "Chuck messed that joke up." He said, "They came with ashes on their feet because they came from afar." So, but yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. So, and I told Chuck, I said, all joking aside, the message of that song is really good and would fit just fine this Sunday, because the message of that song, regardless of some of the debatable details about who they were or where they came from or how many there were, the big point in this story in Matthew and the big point in that song is that they came to worship. That's the big deal. That's what we catch here and what we should be catching. They came to worship Jesus, the King of the Jews, which is pretty interesting because that's the exact same title that was nailed above Jesus' head on the cross. Jesus, King of the Jews. They came to worship Jesus, King of the Jews. Not Jesus necessarily as a deity, but they were coming to pay homage to Jesus as royalty. They didn't get the whole picture. They didn't see the whole thing. But they did recognize Jesus as a king. In verse 11, it says, "After coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him." And so they came to the house with Mary. Where's Joseph? Any guy that's been through this situation, you know Joseph. He's out getting Pampers, or he's out getting something, or he's out running here or running there, or, you know. So that's where Joseph probably is. So, but they came to the house, and there was they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Now, they were both there, but they worshiped Jesus. Then opening their treasures, and this little word here for treasures is interesting. In the Greek, this actually is talking about a treasure box. In our translations, a lot of the translations don't capture that. But that's the idea. We'll be coming back to that idea in a little bit. But they were opening their treasure boxes. They're opening their treasures. They presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. I saw a video this past week, and it was awful cute. They had, you know, it was one of those kid-type videos, and they had gold and a little Frankenstein stuffed animal and myrrh. So, but yes, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Some have tried to impose some symbolic meaning on the gifts that they brought. If there's any symbolic meaning to be found here, it would have been from God and not from the Magi knowing what they were doing or the significance of the gifts they were bringing. It's most likely not the intent of the Magi to be symbolic here. We have no reason to believe that they had some sort of prophetic knowledge about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that they were bringing these gifts. So, and a lot of people will get caught up in that, but let's come back to the simple side of things. What we do know from the text, what is clear in the text, what can be found in the text without forcing anything, is simply they brought gifts. They brought gifts. They brought valuable gifts. Gifts that were of value. They brought gold. They brought frankincense or incense, which was an expensive perfume. They brought myrrh, another popular and expensive perfume. The gifts were in line with what you would do to present to someone who is superior to you. They came to worship him as a king, as a ruler, as someone that outranked them. They worshiped far more than what they understood. The Magi were led by a star, and that's another hot topic among theological discussions. A lot of people like to physically explain the star away, that this was maybe a time when a comet came by the earth and passed by very closely, or maybe it was a time in history when all the planets aligned, I mean, literally all aligned, and there are a lot of discussions about this. And what they do is they try and figure out, according to these interplanetary movements, the exact date of Jesus' birth, that he was born in September, and we should, everybody should move Christmas to September. So, but all those discussions and all the things around that, it's fun to look at, fun to read, but you're really digging a lot of different places. And there's a big deal there, is that the star moves. It can't be a natural phenomenon. It's not a natural star. It's best understood that the star was of supernatural origins, that it was something special. It was a supernatural phenomenon that led the Magi directly to the house that Jesus was residing in. The Magi knew the town. They knew that it was going to be in Bethlehem. They knew the town they were headed to. They didn't need the star to lead them to the town. The star led them to the exact house in that town where they were. So my opinion, as well as a few others, is that that star was yet another one of these angelic presences around Jesus' birth and around the birth story that led them there, this star. This is a good place to start by taking some notes today as we talk about our worship, and we're inspired by the worship of the Magi. The Magi, they were supernaturally led to worship Jesus. This morning, let's not forget that we were supernaturally led to worship Jesus also, weren't we? We were called by God. We were invited by God. We were led by God to worship Jesus. Let's write that down. I was supernaturally drawn to Jesus by God. And that's where my worship started. That's where your worship started. God called you. He called you. I remember a guy who came here to our church to teach a seminar on outreach once, and we went out for dinner or lunch. I can't exactly remember which, but we were sitting across the dinner table from each other at a restaurant, and I've spoken to him in my life on a number of different topics, and I've shared with you a little bit about this, maybe not in detail, but one particular subject was connected to the subject of evangelism, and he asked if I ever experienced anxiety when the church was going through a time when there wasn't a lot of people coming forward to accept Jesus. And I was like, how did this guy get in my mind? How did he read my mind? How did he know that about me? Now, apparently it's a common among a lot of people in my position. And so I said something to the effect of, yes, I do. I feel like I must be doing something wrong if people aren't coming forward. Like I'm not presenting the gospel clear enough, or maybe I'm not coming across as passionate that day on whatever subject that was, or maybe I'm not convicting enough, or something. Yes, I totally feel anxiety when people are not coming forward and accepting Jesus on a regular basis. I feel like I'm not doing my job right as a preacher. And then he asked me, he said, who draws people to Jesus? And without letting me answer, he said, God does, doesn't he? Isn't that what Scripture says? That God draws people to Jesus? Isn't he the one who drew you to Jesus? You think about that, you know? Yeah, that's how it went. You know, there were humans, there were people being used by God, but it was God. It was God who was drawing me to Jesus. And he said, so don't get so stressed out on who is and who is not coming forward. Just preach the truth from the Bible, and God will draw people to Jesus. And the scripture he was referring to is John chapter 6, verse 44. We'll have this up on the screen. We were supernaturally drawn to Jesus. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I will raise him up on the last day. So church, let me remind you, you were supernaturally drawn to Jesus by God. The Magi were led to Jesus by a supernatural star, and you and I were led by God in a supernatural way. Think about how God drew you to Jesus. Just take a moment and go back there in your mind. What was your special star? What was your Magi star? What was your supernatural encounter? What was the supernatural movement that you felt, that you followed? What supernatural way did God draw you to Jesus? You know, Peter writes in his first letter in chapter 2, he says, but you are a chosen people, encouraging his readers. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful lights. So we were supernaturally called to Jesus by God so that, there's a purpose behind this, so that we might do what? Let's go back to that. Let's go back one more. There we go. So that what? You may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. We were called out. We were chosen. We were a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special people belonging to him so that, there's a reason, there's a so that that's there. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. We were supernaturally called with a purpose to worship. To worship. We don't invite the Holy Spirit to our place of worship. You've heard me get on this soapbox before. I should have brought my little dove box. They don't make soapboxes like they used to. It's a little harder to balance on a little 2x3 square. But we don't invite the Holy Spirit into our worship. We're the ones invited. Let's write that down. We are the ones invited here. We gather here because each of us have been led to Jesus by God, and the Holy Spirit facilitates our worship of God. Now, there are songs that talk about we welcome your presence here and things like that, and I'm completely fine with that. But sometimes we get that very backwards. And I think what affects us in that is that we lose the honor of what it is to be here to worship. It is an honor to be here. It is an honor to be called by God in a supernatural way to worship. Just as the Magi were led in a supernatural way to their worship. We've been led in a supernatural way to be here. We have been called by the God of the entire universe. He has called us out of darkness with the purpose of declaring his praise, to praise his name, to worship him. God wants us to be here. We're all here through a connection of the supernatural. And every Sunday, no matter what goes on, it should be a wild time as we're here together. We should be here and we should be thinking, I get to do this. I look forward to doing this. I look forward to being here. Because we know that God wants us to be here. God wants to hear our praises. He wants our worship. We are a chosen people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. We're God's special possession so that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. God wants to hear our voice declare praises. He wants to see actions of worship come from grateful hearts. Let's write that down. God wants to see the gratitude of my heart poured out through actions of worship. So what do we bring to worship? I mean, the Magi came bearing gifts. Regardless if they were meant to be symbolic or not, what is clear is that they brought gifts. They brought gifts that were very expensive. They brought valuable gifts. Some of you guys are like, uh-oh, the preacher's going to start talking about money. Bringing lots of money. You know, these gifts, they were brought as an homage to Jesus, as a tribute. They were brought out of respect for Jesus' kingship. They were brought out of honor for Jesus' position. What do we bring out of a grateful heart today as we come to worship? What are our gifts? What do we bring? Because worship is about giving. It's about giving honor. It's about giving respect. It's about giving tribute. Let's write this down. Our worship is about giving, not getting. And we know that it's easy for that attitude of worship to shift for us. We've all heard things, and it's easier to hear it when someone else is saying it, harder to hear it when we say it, but we've been there. We've said it ourselves. Things like, well, I didn't like the songs today, or they didn't quite fit with me, or I didn't know them, or they were too new, or they were too old, or the music was too loud, or the music was too quiet, or I didn't get anything out of church today. And now, don't get me wrong, we should be getting something out of God's word on a Sunday morning. Whoever's bringing God's word in message, you should be able to get something from that, but we should never, ever skip past the giving part of worship and go straight to the getting part from his word. What did you give this morning? What did you come with? An attitude of receiving or an attitude of giving? Because worship is about giving. Worship is about saying, you are worthy. You are worthy. Here. Hear this. You are worthy. Here. Whatever this is. Here, my time. Here, my money. Here, my focus. Here, my sacrifice. Here, my presence. Here, my service. Here, my attention. Here, what's that this for you? What's in your treasure box? The Magi brought their gifts in little treasure boxes. So what's in your treasure box? We carry a treasure box with us every day. Through the week, it's the treasure box of our heart. And we store things up in that treasure box. We should be conscious about what we store in the treasure box of our hearts, that we are bringing that to worship. That's what we bring to worship God with. So what is in the treasure box of your heart that you bring to God? That we would open our treasure box, the treasure box of our heart, and we would present something of value, something expensive to honor Jesus out of our heart. I mean, think of the gift that Jesus brought. I mean, the Magi, they brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Those were top shelf gifts for that time. But then you look at Jesus, toddler Jesus, who they encountered at that time. Jesus brought the gift of life. Jesus brought the gift of atonement. Jesus brought the gift of the ultimate sacrifice. The Magi came with a blend of pagan religious backgrounds with some influence of some Jewish prophecy that they understood, and then they traveled And they worshiped far more than what they understood. But how about us? I mean, on this side of the cross, we know so much more than the Magi knew. And yet they came and they brought top shelf gifts out of their treasure box. On this side of the cross, knowing the Jesus we know, how much more worthy should he be in our minds and our heart as we prepare for worship on a weekly basis? We have a personal relationship with God. And even so, even with that personal relationship, there are many things about God that are mysterious to us, many things that are unknown about God. And I wonder if that hinders our worship sometimes. You know, when we second guess what God is doing in our life, when we feel like we've been slighted somehow by God, when we feel like we've been overlooked by God somehow, does that affect what we bring in our treasure box on a Sunday morning? We should not let the mysterious or unknown parts of God cause us to withhold worship. We should not let mysterious or unknown parts of God cause us to withhold worship. There are always going to be questions. There are always going to be mysteries surrounding God. But when those questions and mysteries focus around what we're not getting, it will limit what we're willing to give in worship. God didn't come through for me on this. He didn't come through for me the way I hoped that he would, or the way I thought he should have, or the way that I felt I was entitled for him to come through for me on this. So guess what? I'm taking a little bit out of my treasure box. You're getting silver this week instead of gold, because I'm not happy with the way you've been acting in my life. Or God, you didn't answer that prayer the way that I thought that you should have, the way that I would have answered the prayer, the way that I was praying. You didn't answer it the way that I'd hoped you would answer it. So guess what? This week you get a scented candle instead of frankincense. See, do we come to worship to give or to get? And is our giving based on what we've gotten? Or is it just based on the value of who God is? I mean, what we know of God, what we know about God is we know that he is worthy of our worship. We know he's worthy of our worship. Scratch the things we don't know. Scratch the things that we're confused about. Scratch the things that we don't understand. The things we know about God that are for certain is that he is worthy. He's worthy of valuable treasures to be brought in the treasure box of our heart when we worship him. The Magi weren't fully in the know, but they brought gifts to honor Jesus. They worshiped far more than what they knew. So could we find some inspiration from that this morning during this Christmas season? That even when I don't quite get what God is up to, even when I don't understand it all, that I can still fill the treasure box of my heart with precious things to bring to God to worship and not withhold worship because I didn't get something from God. See, sometimes we're not thinking. I think a lot of times we don't think about this treasure box through the week. We wake up and it's Sunday morning and, you know, some of us might pick your clothes out the night before. But how many of us prepare the treasure box of our heart the week before? That's a whole lot more important than the clothes we're going to wear, isn't it? So let's think about that this week. Through the week, that we would store up things in our treasure box, things that are precious, things that are important to us. And say, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to worship God. I'm going to go to God with a grateful heart. I'm going to remember that Sunday when I'm singing songs. I'm going to bring that before him and lay it at his feet. You know, the Magi bowed to Jesus. That's another act associated with giving homage, giving respect, giving honor to Jesus. How are we about bowing in worship? And I'm not talking about physically bowing. I'm talking about something much deeper. Do we bow our hearts in worship? Do we bow our minds in worship? Do we bow our will to his? Do we bow our understanding to his? Do we just come on a Sunday morning as a group of people who have been bought by the blood of Jesus and just lay it down and say, here it is. I'm laying it all before you. And I bow in worship. How are we there? To just simply bow, no matter what's going on in our life, what craziness or what calamity or what just, you know, chaos, to just come in and bow. To just pause and bow. To just be still and bow. Magi traveled a great distance to worship Jesus. How far do we go in our journey to worship God? And once again, I'm not talking about something physical. I'm not talking about Terry driving all the way from Possum Ridge. I'm not talking about packing up and taking a road trip. You know, do you remember the toothbrush? Do you remember your soap and shampoo? Did you get a change of underwear? An extra change of underwear? I'm not talking about physically packing up and traveling to some destination. I'm talking about your life and your internal destination of where your heart is. How far are you willing to travel to be in the place where God wants you to be to worship Him? Do we worship God without limits? So we should be mindful. We should write this down. We should be mindful of the limits we put on our worship. We should be mindful of the limits we put on our worship. Some people debate on even coming to church on a Sunday or not. These Magi traveled hundreds of miles to worship. And they didn't hop in a little Chevrolet to do it. No, they were wise men. They took a Ford. Well, I mean, they wanted to get there. So, I guess they could have been towed by a Ford. Anyway, now they traveled hundreds of miles by foot or by animal. Our nativity scenes depict them traveling by camels, and that's definitely plausible. The Magi traveled a great distance physically, but what I'm asking you this morning is not of the physical realm. What I'm asking is, what distance are you willing to travel in your heart to meet God where He is, where He wants you to be? How far are you willing to let God move you in your worship experience? What limits do you put on God in your worship? You can move me this far. I'm all right with that. That's comfortable. But I'm not going that far. I'm not going this far. I'm not going to let my heart change that much. You can change this much. But that much, that's too far. I'll bend my will this much in worship. But I'm not going to bend my will this much. I'll sacrifice this amount of understanding. But this is too far to be way out here and left way out. I can't do that. What limits do we put on our worship? In the journey of our mind, in the journey of our heart, in the journey of our soul, what limits do we put on that? God, you can have this compartment of my heart right here. You can have this compartment of my life, but stay there. Not over. Well, sometimes maybe, okay, today is okay if you're here, but no further. But then I'm going to claim that back on Monday because that's too far. What limits do we put? God should have full access to our heart, to our lives, to move in us freely. What limits do you put on God? How freely is He allowed to move in your life? How far is He willing to move you? Because this shows how important He is to you. How far you're willing to travel in your heart, your mind, your will. That shows how important He is to you. The Magi traveled a great distance because it was important to them. I fear that the limits we put on our worship directly reflect the importance that God has in our life. Let's write that down. The limits we put on our worship directly reflect the importance that God has in our life. What do you interrupt to worship God? Or do we put God on a back burner? and deal with other parts, handle other parts of our life, and then get to that later? What do you hold on to in worship that you really need to let go of? What hinders your worship? How far are you willing to go? Because let me remind you, he's worth it all. He's worth everything. And we say that, we profess that, but we still hang on to our own agendas. We still hang on to our own plans. You know, I think it's pretty interesting that the Magi don't use the same route to go home. They don't use the same route to go home. There's a reason for this in the narrative. See, Herod, King Herod, secretly wanted to kill Jesus because he was called King of the Jews, and Herod did not want anyone threatening his position. So he told the Magi, he said, "When you find the boy, report back to me because I would like to go and worship him too." See, but then after encountering Jesus, after the Magi's worship experience, we read this, and man, this is rich. This is rich. This jumped out at me this week, and it was just, oh wow. "And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." Everyone say another way. So I'm getting some blank looks. Some of you guys are like, man, why is he so jazzed about this? See, the Magi had a certain reason that they went a different way after worshiping Jesus. They were avoiding Herod because Herod was a path of evil, and they were avoiding that. And some of you guys might be getting my connection at this point. When we encounter a worship experience with Jesus, every one of us have got somewhere in our life, because none of us are perfect. And I know there's a lot of you out there that are a whole lot more holy than I am. And you're still not perfect. You're still not there. And so every one of us in this room, we have a different path that we need to take when we leave our worship experience with Jesus, because the path we were going to take leads to evil. And man, when that jumped out, I was like, oh, that's good. That's powerful. We need to take a different path. When we come into a worship experience and we give and we bow, we give our respect and our honor, and we tell God, "You are worthy," then as he moves in us and changes us and adjusts our heart and adjusts our sights and changes how we're viewing things, then there's going to be a place in your life every week you come to worship. There's going to be a place in your life where God says, "Don't go back that road, because you know that road goes to evil. Herod's down that road. You need to go back home a different path. You need to go back along your life choosing a different path. One that's free from evil. One that's free from the temptation that you're dealing with." See, how many of us have things in our lives that we don't need to return to after this worship experience today? How many of us are holding on to things that are destructive in our life? Herod sought to kill Jesus. What things are we holding on to that are destructive in our life? Church, let me remind you, you are supernaturally drawn to Jesus by God. That's a great feeling. Let us be reminded of that as we see the Magi being led by this supernatural star, to be reminded that we were invited by God to be here, that it is an honor to be here, to worship, that we should come with grateful hearts, with treasure boxes filled with gratefulness through the week, that we come and we bring our treasure box with us full of precious things to bring to worship. Not just here on Sunday, but worship God through the week in our service and all sorts of different things that can go into our treasure box. But when we see something of value, something of worth, something important, something expensive, something that it takes sacrifice to get a hold of, that we would remember through the week, starting just after this service, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all the way Saturday, all the way right before Sunday morning, on your way to church, that you'd be grabbing stuff through the week and putting them in your treasure box, saying, "I want to take that to worship Sunday. I'm going to take that, and I'm going to honor God with it." and that we bring those things to worship regardless of how much we understand about God. Without limits that are based on us not agreeing with something he's doing or not doing, but that we would just come without limits and we would just bow. Bow everything and just bow and let him move us and let him move our hearts, our will, our mind on a journey that ends in a place of worship. And that all of us would be reminded week in and week out that there's always going to be another path that he'll want us to take after a worship experience. A path that's pure. We can find a lot of inspiration in the worship of these magi. What do we bring to worship?